I'm John Krall. In connection with Money Smart Indiana Week, we're going to talk about what it takes to get ready for retirement. We will discuss what plans people should have in place, how much they should save, and how they should save it, and what moves people should make as retirement approaches. I'll be joined for this discussion by Katie Moreau of Indiana AARP, Kia Coleman of the National Coalition of 100 Black Women, and Joe Everett, who is retired from the Social Security Administration and is a current AARP veteran. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits at WFYI.org, or connecting via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news.
Support for No Limits is provided by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th state university. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about what it takes to get ready for retirement. I'm fortunate to have as my guests Katie Moreau, who is with Indiana AARP. Katie, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us. We're very excited to be here.
It's good to have you here. Kia Coleman, who is with the National Coalition of 100 Black Women. Kia, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and we too are excited to be here today.
It's good to have you here as well. And Joe Everett, who is retired from the Social Security Administration and is a current AARP volunteer. Joe, couldn't get enough retirement.
I know it. Thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you here. Well, I want to start first by inviting our listeners to join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. To get this conversation rolling, I guess I'll start with Katie and just ask, what are the big practical steps people should take to get ready for retirement?
The first thing that we encourage people to do is to figure out exactly what their retirement looks like to them. It's totally different to a lot of people. Golf, vacations, lots of travel for some, trying to maintain your current standard of living for others, figuring out as best you can if you're going to need to take care of others, considering your family situation, the growing number of folks who are doing caregiving for loved ones, as well as grandparents raising grandchildren, how much of a financial responsibility that's going to be. The sooner you can plan, the better. We've seen a sharp decline in folks saving for various reasons, most of them the economy, attributed to the economy. But what we've really tried to do over the past year and a half at AARP Indiana is hold telephone town halls and in-person events to really give people the means to start planning with a certified financial planner, an estate planner, and then usually Joe or another one of our volunteers talks about the Social Security piece.
Well, and I guess that would be sort of a cue for Joe here to talk about the Social Security piece here. I mean, I think the illusion, and I'll use that term, that Social Security would be enough for retirement has pretty well been dispensed with now and should be. But I'll let you, if there are people who still believe that, I'll let you take a whack at it.
Well, I think, Social Security is not the sole source of a person's income in their retirement years, and it shouldn't be looked at as such. But it is a cornerstone. And, it's a program that's been around for coming up almost 80 years now, and certainly anticipated to be there for future generations. So you look at that as kind of a base for yourself, but not the sole source of your retirement income. However, for some folks, Social Security is the only retirement income that they do have. So, you know, you have to look at it from all economic groups. Some folks, it's a base. Some folks, it's the sole source of their income.
There's a very high percentage of Hoosier Social Security beneficiaries that it makes up the majority of their retirement income. On average, it makes up 67% of their income, and the average annual benefit is about $15,000. So that's hard. And one of the messages that we try to reinforce at these events, and AARP does nationally, is it pays to wait. We know that not everybody can wait until their full retirement age to claim Social Security, but one thing Joe is great about is explaining to people and making sure they at least have the information about the significant percentage increase in your benefits if you take at 62 versus your full retirement age.
So does that mean I'm going to try to get through doing some math here on the fly, and that's dangerous. That could be dangerous, but it sounds like you said that that the average Social Security benefit for a Hoosier is about $15,000, and that represents 67% of the income. So that means that the average Hoosier retiree is making somewhere between $22,000 and $23,000 a year and trying to live on that. So that's different. Is that an adequate sum for people to make it, or you know, what other steps should we, what other steps should they be doing to get beyond that? Let me bring Kia in here real quickly too. What other steps should people be taking
to prepare for retirement?
Yes.
Knowing again that Social Security is a great supplement, I guess we can say. But saving now. A lot of times people, particularly young people, think, oh, I have time, not realizing that when you graduate from college or trade school, it's time to start saving. And it's if your company has a, a retirement plan, 401k, 457, whatever that's in place at your employer, take advantage of it. Because, you know, years go by very quickly, and I'm learning that. So making sure that you look at various vehicles to prepare for retirement, as well as a liquid savings. So
what time, I think Katie said that the first step is really to think about what your retirement should look like, whether, you know, you envision the golf trips or the cruises, or whether it's something else, just a transition to some degree to working a little bit less than you had before. What is the most, when should that process start of thinking about when your retirement should be? I mean, I've got to admit, it wouldn't have occurred to me to start planning my retirement at least in terms of what it would look like when I was 23.
Yeah.
It seems a little more real now. But
my husband says that we're the youngest couple on the planet to have long-term care insurance. So I'm a little biased because of my job. But it's also something that with my job, I've seen people go bankrupt really quickly, mostly in terms of a health disaster happening and the cost of either the health care that's not covered or the transition into a nursing home and the cost of that upon their family. So I'm fairly confident that most people do not want to be a burden financially onto their children. So I'd say the sooner the better, as Kia echoed. I mean, I know that we're balancing paying for your children's education and saving for college and then thinking about retirement, but it seems less painful now to do it now and just put it aside.
We are talking about what it takes to get ready for retirement here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, we've talked about sort of the nightmare scenario, and the thing I think that scares a lot of people about retirement is that, A, they'll run out of money, that they'll go bankrupt, that they won't be able to first place, provide for their own care, so they'll become dependent upon someone else. Those of us who have children also like to think of the idea that we would be able to leave something for the next generation to get them, push them along in life, perhaps, or the next couple generations to, you know, if you don't want to leave things to your children, you want to do it to your grandchildren. What's the biggest mistake people make when it comes to preparing for retirement? Joe, I'll throw that one back to you.
Well, you know, I look at it that most people, they kind of underestimate the amount of money that they might need in retirement. They think that they're going to scale back on a lot of activities that they're doing pre-retirement, and they're not going to do these things in retirement. And it usually doesn't work out that way, mm-hmm. you know. So I think that's probably one of the biggest areas. And then people have a tendency not to be honest with themselves about what they're spending, mm-hmm. what their expenses are. So I think it's always a good idea when you're thinking about retirement and you're getting close to it, that you really do a complete inventory on yourself, what it is that I'm actually spending and what things can I eliminate, you know, without really changing the way that I would prefer to live mm-hmm. in my retirement.
How should they go about doing that kind of inventory?
Well, the best way to do that is you got to write down everything that you spend. You know, do that for about, you know, budget, you yeah. know. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are scared of budgets, but the mm-hmm. best thing to do is to write down everything that mm-hmm. you spend, keep track of it, do it for about, they say 30 days, but I say, you know, maybe 60 days mm-hmm. that you just write down everything. And then that way you'll get a good assessment of what you're spending and what things that you might be able to eliminate in
How
retirement.
Kia. Yes. How okay. common is that problem that people are spending more than they realize?
Very, very common. And I would add to what Joe said. A lot of times I explain to people, okay, if you retire, say you're able to retire at 65 or 67, you have to account for hopefully you live longer, maybe another 20 or 25 years. You need money for that. And so I think a lot of times people don't realize that. And like Joe said, it's basically sitting down, takes discipline to sit down and look at your expenses. And as we see today, a lot of people, baby boomers, those approaching retirement, are taking care of their parents, too. So just being realistic about our situations with the coalition, we actually have a financial literacy and empowerment symposium this Saturday to talk about some of those things.
Please tell people if they wanted to take part how they could go about it.
Definitely. The RSVPs are in, but you can still attend. The symposium will take place this Saturday. AARP and Huntington Bank are our sponsors. We're excited because we're celebrating Money Smart Week this week. Mm-hmm. And so it'll take place this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the John H. Bonner Community Center. And to RSVP, you can RSVP at rsvpmsk@gmail.com. And we're excited. We're going to be talking about budgeting and credit. We also are going to talk about estate planning. And we also have a speaker that's going to talk about unique challenges that women in particular face in life as it relates to financial situations. So everything that we're talking about today will be discussed in detail on Saturday.
We've gotten a question from a listener via Facebook. And if you want to send a question or comment via Facebook, please do so at WFYI. It says, many of my 30-something peers have said that saving for retirement is pointless as we cannot retain our income in the way generations before were able to. Is this something that the panel agrees with, or can they speak on this subject? Katie Moreau, you're smiling, so I'll let you.
Well, I fall into that category as a 30-something myself, and I had a previous life of public service before this. And so for those who also work in some form of government, the pay was pretty minimal, yeah. right? Right. Yeah. The reward was significant, but the pay was minimal. But the federal government did have a match up to a certain amount of your in your thrift savings plan. And I started then and there, and it became ingrained. I think that that's certainly a valid reason that we have less dispensable income, but it's amazing what you can work with when you really try to live with just a little bit less by putting some away each month.
Is it wise to rely? We've already indicated that Social Security should be a supplement here and not the main prop. How about the idea of using, say, you work for a company, the company's pension plan? Should you? We have heard the horror stories, too, about pension plans going up in smoke. How much faith should you put in those? I'll stay with you, Katie.
Um, we try to adapt to the changing retirement environment, which is the decline of traditional pensions. I guess just trying to keep on track of where you think your company is headed with that in terms of putting money into it, because quite often it can render significant benefits. The horror stories are there, but I think that's the case with just about anything. I don't know if Joe has anything to add with that, what he's seen or what he saw develop, time.
I would say that, investing in companies' 401k plans, that's something that you definitely should do.
And we will pick that up on the other side of this break. We are talking about getting ready for retirement here on No Limits. My guests are Katie Moreau, Kia Coleman, and Joe Everett. I am John Krall. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about what it takes to get ready for retirement. Just before we went to the break, Joe Everett, who's one of my guests, he's retired Social Security Administration employee and now a current AARP volunteer, was talking about how much faith or reliance you should place in corporate or company-based retirement plans, either the pension or the 401k, or if it's a not-for-profit, I guess it'd be a 403b. Joe, I'd like to give you a chance to finish your thought on that.
Yes, thank you. Again, I said that if your company does have a 401k or some type of plan like that, it's probably a wise thing to invest in it. The good thing about that is that you have some control over where your investments go, and so you have to be a manager of that. Also, companies that have a traditional pension, those are becoming fewer and fewer. So that's something I really wouldn't count on. But the listener's question about saving, you still have to save. You definitely have to save, and you start early saving, and you manage your expenses. I always say you go back to a situation where you try to live below your means while you're coming through this process. So when you do get to retirement, you got a nest egg saved up.
We are talking about what it takes to get ready for retirement here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, or you can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or comment via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Andy, welcome to the program.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't recognize that you were talking to me. I apologize.
Not a problem.
I do have a question for you. NPR just about a month ago put out a report that talked about Social Security disability and the fact that there were, I think, 17 states that have been hiring consultants to transfer their welfare recipients where they can to Social Security disability. With all of the issues that are going around, it's very difficult to tell young people that they're going to get their Social Security. And I guess my question is, for folks that are with AARP, are you getting the word out to some of these legislators and other folks that this is occurring and that it's pretty inappropriate? Because it just adds to the confusion and the non-confidence, I think, of younger people about Social Security. I particularly think it's exceptionally important to save, as well as consider Social Security a supplement, but quite a vital supplement. And I'm over 60, so I think I can say I started saving early, and hopefully in my retirement it will be there. It will be there, and I'm hoping for my grandchildren it will be there. But this concerns me, and I wonder how much we have had that discussion. And leave it to the panel, and I'll take my answers off air.
Great. Thank you very much for the call, Andy. Katie, I'll throw that one to you first.
I have not heard much about the disability part about it in contracting out. I'm happy to look into it more. If you could, email us at IN at aarp.org with some further details. I'd be happy to look into it further. We do, of course, have our national headquarters in AARP with lots of folks who are incredibly knowledgeable about Social Security and the disability part of it, but we have not had any advocacy efforts at that at the state level.
We got a question from a listener who did not want to go on the air that was responding to something Kia had said about the special challenges women have in preparing for retirement. And the listener expressed some skepticism about whether there should be a difference, that, you know, retirement should be the same for everyone. What would be some sort of gender-based differences in the way that that people should plan for retirement?
I would say if you look at the bigger picture, particularly in the African-American community, a lot of the households are headed by African-American women. So taking a look at it from that aspect, there are challenges that arise with managing your household and taking care of your children, getting your children in school and other life situations, sick loved ones. So just life situations, of course, that everyone experiences, but particularly with women and in the African-American community, there are other challenges as well. So our organization, we actually advocate on behalf of women of color when it comes to economic development and empowerment, education, as well as health. So when you look at some of the disparities, that's where we come in as far as advocacy is concerned and financial literacy. That's one of the reasons we've partnered with Money Smart Week during this week to push financial literacy and some of the tools that are out there to those who may not be aware or who may not have the resources.
So. Is some of it also a life expectancy question, too? Because I know the gap has closed a little bit, but women still do tend to live longer than men in this country.
Exactly. Katie Murrow. They do, and Joe has spoken about this, and I'll ask him to elaborate, but in terms of claiming Social Security benefits, it's good to figure out, say you were stay-at-home mom, so you don't have a record of employment, maybe looking at your options to claim on your husband's record. And so a lot of folks don't know that there are various options out there when you're going to claim your Social Security benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's quite a few options that you can take advantage of as far as Social Security is concerned. Most of those will come into play if you defer until you reach your full retirement age, whatever that might be. You know, right
we
now
we probably ought to walk people through what those retirement ages are too. Is that's an important?
Yeah, that's
thing.
Fine. Social Security retirement for retirement benefits. Early retirement age is age 62, and right now for someone retiring at age 62, their full retirement age is actually 66. So if you do retire at 62 and you decide to take your Social Security, you're going to get about 75% of your benefits. If you wait till your full retirement age, of course, you get 100%. And you can also defer between your full retirement age and age 70, and that could gather you another 32% on top of your retirement. And so not only is that important for the beneficiary, but if there's some auxiliary, what they call an auxiliary person, a spouse or a child joined, particularly a spouse, you know, the spouse can benefit by the beneficiary waiting until their full retirement age to claim full benefits or beyond their full retirement age.
And I realize I'm probably going to, you know, open up a Pandora's box here by asking a question, but do we have those retirement ages set too young now? I mean, in that, that 65 was sort of the magic number for many, many years, but it was established when the thought was that the average life expectancy was somewhere around age 70 or the early 70s. Now that we have people living into their 80s and 90s and the Today Show has stopped, you know, doing birthdays for people who reach 100 because there are just too many of them for them to get in there, does that make sense? It wasn't planned to cover 35 years. Joe, I'll stay with you on that one.
Well, I would like to say that, you know, 62 has been there for a long time. Early retirement at 62 hasn't changed. You know, I was with the agency for over 20 years, and it was 62 then, it's 62 now. The full retirement age has been bumped up to age 67 for anyone that's born 1960 or later. There's talk about raising the full retirement age, maybe anywhere between 67 and 70, because of life expectancy, you know. So I'm not going to say that it should be raised. I think there's a discussion out there about it, and I think we should continue to talk about it. That's one option among many options that's out there to strengthen the Social Security program.
Yeah, I think I would agree completely with what Joe says, and you know, AARP is the strongest advocate for seniors and folks 50 plus, and so this is a huge issue for us. We would say that we strongly oppose any changes to current beneficiaries because people are planning on this and they're counting on it. As I said earlier, when it makes up 67% of your retirement income, that's a big deal to take a hit.
We are talking about what it takes to get ready for retirement here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. And we have an email from a listener named Mike who says, I was wondering if your guest could comment about enrollment for Medicare. Thanks. Go back to Joe on that one.
Okay.
Everyone's punning in your direction here, Joe.
Okay.
Now you know why we use him as a volunteer so often.
Enrollment for Medicare can occur in several different ways. If you're enrolling based on your age, of course, you have to be 65, okay, for Medicare. Of course, Medicare also comes into play for folks that go on to disability. If you've been on disability, Social Security disability for 2 years, then you're eligible for Medicare. But in the case of someone that's going on Medicare at 65, it works in a couple of different ways. If you're already receiving Social Security benefits and you're turning 65, then maybe 3 months before you turn 65, you automatically get enrolled into two parts of Medicare. You get enrolled into Part A and into Part B, Part A being your hospital inpatient, Part B being your outpatient doctor visits. If you're not drawing a Social Security benefit at 65, then it's your responsibility to contact Social Security and enroll in Medicare. And at that point, you would determine whether you wanted to enroll in both parts of Medicare, Part A and B. If you're still working and you have health insurance through your employment, then you probably only enroll in Part A and you defer Part B until a later date. And we haven't even talked about Part D, which is a prescription drug plan. So it can get complicated. The best thing to do with Medicare, if you have Medicare questions, go to Social Security's website, www.socialsecurity.gov. I would believe that any question that you could ask us about Medicare is already answered on that website.
We have gotten a tweet from a listener that gets to the nitty-gritty here, which is, well, no, since we've talked about taking more responsibility for your retirement, can you talk about saving for retirement in terms of percentage of your income? I'm 26 and not sure what my current goal should be. And I see a lot of puzzled faces here, but I'll go with Keon.
Thank you. That I have, I'm just reflecting back on, I'll say, my early career days. And I spent 6 years in banking and investment. So it's kind of funny how things come full circle. But I can remember at the companies that I worked at, they actually had resources for employees that actually mapped all that out as far as this is your age, this is your current income, this is how much you should save, these are your expenses. So while I don't have a specific figure, I would say to reach out to your employer and ask them for any tools or resources that they have. And then various, I won't name them, but there's various companies, mutual fund companies that have these resources online where you can actually take a minute and look at your entire portfolio and plan out your retirement. I wish I could give some information now, but I've seen tons of information that actually would give you down to the penny on how much you should save based on your current age and the current life expectancy. So I know that's pretty general.
We are talking about, well, and it also sounds like the other variable in that discussion would be the one we've talked about before, which is knowing what you want your retirement to look like. If you want a baseline level retirement, it's one thing. If you want a Bill Gates level retirement,
that's another thing
altogether. We are talking about getting ready for retirement here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Dan, welcome to the program.
How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
I had a question. I have had some friends that were basically self-employed or had their own business. And basically the question is, I know that if you can work here from age 20 to age 55 at full benefits, a full decent paying job, and then I've had a friend that actually the last 10 years thought, well, I'm going to give up the full-time job, it's a little rough on the body, and I'm going to do something part-time. And he found out a little too late that the base, the actual payment that you're going to receive after retirement on your last either 5 or 7 years. I've heard both numbers. I wasn't sure if that was true.
Good question. We'll throw that one to Joe. Thanks very much for the call, Dan.
Yes, there's a lot of misconceptions out there about how many years are used to calculate a Social Security retirement benefit, and we'll stick with the retirement part. You really only need 10 years of retirement Social Security earnings to earn a retirement benefit. However, Social Security uses 35 years to figure your retirement. So it's not the last 5 or the last 7. It's actually 35 years over your lifetime. So it's the best 35 years of your work. And those earnings are indexed, what they call, to inflation over that period of time. But it's the best 35 years of your work that's used to figure your retirement. So it behooves a person to work at the highest level of earnings that they can possibly earn during their working career in order to maximize their benefit.
And are those taken in, like if I had a great year back in 1989 and then another one in 2001 and then still another if I'm, say, a freelance writer or some such and there are big surges in my income, or do they have to be consecutive?
They do not have to be consecutive. It's over your working career is what Social Security looks at. It looks at the best 35 years. Mm-hmm. So if you got 35 years of work, They're gonna pick that 35. If you got 40, they're gonna pick the best 35. If you got less than 35, they're gonna say you got 30. They're gonna use 30, but then they're gonna factor 5 years of zeros into that calculation. So that's going to bring your benefit down.
So they really want you working at least 35 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
We are talking about getting ready for retirement here, and if you want to connect with us by email, you can do so by sending an email to us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Got an email question from Jerry, who says, I would be interested to hear your guest views about the Roth IRA, which I personally believe is one of the greatest plans available to ordinary Americans. Those are Jerry's words, not mine. I'll go with Katie on that.
I'll try to give my best answer without breaking into an allergy attack here. I promise. I apologize. We don't tend to endorse any sort of products. I mean, and I understand that that's a federal government an option. But in terms of having a diverse portfolio, that is something that is a strong option. And personally, I know that in our personal finances, we use it and tend to put it as one of our top options.
Is it one of those things that should be part of, it's almost like we're planning a meal here, nutritional. So, balance is the key. Some of it is Social Security. Mm-hmm. Some of it is your company's pension or retirement program. Mm-hmm. Some of it should be, some piece of retirement savings that you control exclusively by yourself.
Exactly.
Just a few seconds, Katie.
Yes, exactly. And I think especially after the economic collapse in 2007, the amount that people took a hit on their stocks and private investments that reinforced it even more.
We are talking about getting ready for retirement here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or connect via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Katie Moreau of Indiana AARP, Kia Coleman of the National Coalition of Black Women, and Joe Everett. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about what it takes to get ready for retirement. My guests are Katie Moreau, who is with Indiana AARP, Kia Coleman, who is with the National Coalition of 100 Black Women, and Joe Everett, who is a retired Social Security Administration employee and clearly a font of tremendous knowledge on these subjects and a current AARP volunteer. If you would like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling 1-866-476-3881. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Certainly. Your question, please.
Yes, for someone like myself, I have been running my own business for a long time, over 10 years, and don't have very much in the way of savings for retirement, and looking probably at the next 25 years for retirement. I'm wondering what is the best advice to be able to start saving now and be able to retire comfortably.
So you, and just so I've got the math and the problem we're setting in front of them here, Robert, you're planning to retire in about 25 years, so we make this a 25-year project?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got 25 years to get ready. It sounds like you're self-employed or, you know. Joe, what's the best way to get started? I'm going to let everybody take a crack at this.
Well, I think if you're self-employed, I would say this. The first thing you might want to do is to try to get with a good financial
mm-hmm.
planner.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can really lay out, you know, what your plan is, what you envision your retirement to be like in 25 years. And then you can get a reality check, you know, right at the beginning from that financial planner as to where you need to devote your energies. I know there's some special investment opportunities for people that are self-employed as far as where they can invest funds and how much they can invest. So I think that's where I would start at.
Katie Moreau.
Definitely. We have had some great certified financial planners at our events throughout the state. They've offered, you know, free advice at the time, not specific, but I certainly walked away from there saying I have got to meet with one of these people immediately to plan. It forces you to take a hard look at what you spend and how you prioritize your money.
Mm-hmm. Kia, I'll let you have the last word on that subject, and then I'm going to move into long-term care insurance because we've gotten several questions.
Sure. I share the same sentiments. It's always a good idea to get an expert that will help you look at your entire your picture. And I know we keep sharing the same theme as far as what you want your retirement to look like, but that's the main message, mm-hmm. what you want your retirement to look like. And it's good to sit down with an expert that will help you map things out. And I also want to say, too, along with retirement saving period, as we talked about earlier, we need to commit to saving because everything should not be invested due to life situations. So we want to also look at various other vehicles to save, whether it's a liquid savings account. And I know things have changed over the years as far as CDs and other vehicles, but we also want to make sure that we're saving as well as saving for retirement and life situations.
We've gotten a couple of tweets that say, first one says, could the panel explain why long-term care insurance is important or a good idea? And then the second, on a related theme, which is why I'm linking them, what do you see could be problems, issues for the baby boom generation needing funds for long-term care? What should they do right now? I'll go with Katie Moreau on that one.
At our Ready for Retirement events, I have heard time and time again, particularly the elder law attorneys encourage purchasing long-term care. It takes some research. It takes some effort to figure out what – there aren't that many plans out there for one reason or another, but it does take some effort on the individual's part to seek out a plan. But especially if you have significant assets – that you could lose. Mm-hmm. Long-term care is a great option.
How do you define significant assets? One of those words that people hear differently.
I know. Unless you qualify for Medicaid, mm-hmm. your cost of a nursing home is not going to be covered, or it will be only covered in limited portions. And so you could spend that amount very quickly. So if you have... I'm not going to give a figure, but if you do not think that you are going to qualify for Medicaid, I would look into long-term care insurance.
We are talking about what the challenges are in regard to getting ready for retirement. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Carol, welcome to the program.
Hi. I have a question about the retirement age discussion that you were having.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people talk about raising it or leaving it alone, but my question is anything being done with the employers to keep the able-bodied 60-something worker in the workplace?
Very good question, Carol. We'll see if we can get an answer. I'll throw that one to Kia first. Thank you very much for the call, Carol.
You know, and I can't necessarily speak on what employers are doing per se. It really goes back to personal and accountability on knowing that situations are changing, and so in knowing that, what can we do as an individual on our end to prepare.
You say, Joe, actually, you're the only retired person I think we've got in the room here right now.
Well,
and
it sounds
like you didn't really retire. But
I'm not really. I'll be Social Security age this year.
Okay.
But basically, you know, a lot of folks that are at retirement age, early retirement age, or at full retirement age, they continue to work now. And a lot of reasons that they do that is because, you know, once you do reach your full retirement age, even if you continue to work, you can draw your Social Security benefits mm-hmm. without any penalty, you know. And some folks that might be deferring their Social Security, they're taking advantage of getting an additional 8% each year that they delay it between, say, their full retirement age of 66 up to age 70. So it's a lot of folks in the workplace now that at 66, you know, they're still working. I think employers now value older workers mainly because of their experience. And their dependability.
Season.
You know, we kind of know how to get to work on time. So that's a big reason that employers look at older workers.
And I'll say, given the way people live now, are the tools we have sophisticated enough? Because I would suspect that, you know, when I think about retirement, for example, I don't think about stopping working. I think about maybe scaling mm-hmm. back my time commitment mm-hmm. a little bit so that I would have time to do some other things or pursue some other passions. But I don't think about not, you know, I make a joke and I'm going to offend every golfer in the state by saying, you know, I don't play golf and I can't stand the clothes. So, you know, I can't, if there isn't something like that to do, I still want to work. I still want to be productive. It's just a different stage of my career at that point. Do we have any notion really? Because we sort of talk about retirement as if it is an absolute when it could be really sort of a gradual staging thing. Katie Moreau, you're nodding your head.
Well, I'm nodding my head because it's the perfect example of how you see retirement, which is a lot different than a lot of people. Particularly at these events, we hear from people who at age 50, 55, 60, 65, they clock out on their final day and that's it. They're not going to do any form of work, traditional work thereafter, and to each their own. but we have to plan for that accordingly. I will make a plug in terms of tools, planning tools for AARP's online tools. We have highly customizable, personalized, secure tools on our website. It's aarp.org/work. We have a retirement calculator, a Social Security benefits calculator, and they're really good. I've used them myself. And it really helps you look at and factor in things like continuing to work part-time, full-time, things, you know, transitioning to service instead of paid employment.
We are talking about getting ready for retirement here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Tim, welcome to the program.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. I'm concerned after having watched a PBS Frontline report about what happens to our retirement funds because of the unregulated and undisciplined financial services industry that over the last 20 years, according to them, have taken over $10 trillion in fees, almost two-thirds of our retirement account, and placed it within the hands of these account managers. And I wondered if the guests had any knowledge about what they are doing at AARP or within Social Security to try to push a regulatory system that it makes sense, where we're not getting all of our savings stolen from these Wall Street types.
Good question, Tim. Thank you very much for the call. Katie, I think that one's you.
I do. Tim, I saw that and it scared me as well. You know, and it scared me to action, and I think it has to you as well, which I applaud you for. AARP does have several excellent lobbyists, for lack of a better word, but and policy folks in D.C. who are tasked with trying to increase the regulations. As you can imagine, they're up against quite a battle. The ongoing regulation of, you know, pieces of legislation like Too Big to Fail with the banks are still in the works. But AARP is definitely on the issue, especially in terms of our advocacy efforts.
We've gotten a question from a listener who didn't want to go on the air, asking if there's a way you can go and calculate your Social Security benefits, if there's some tool somewhere that can be used. Joe, I'll throw that one back to you because the Social Security question seemed to be your meat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, certainly. You want to go to the Social Security online, to www.socialsecurity.gov, and they have online, you can get your personal benefit estimate. You will actually enroll in what they call My Social Security, and you can get an estimate right online that's tied directly to your contributions to the system. It's the most accurate estimate that you can get as far as your Social Security benefit is concerned.
And we've also gotten a follow-up on that that says, does unemployment money count in terms of calculating your Social Security benefits?
Unemployment does not count. It will not be used to count as far as towards your benefit. The amount of your benefit, you cannot use unemployment for that.
So that figure, yes, Kia.
And just to piggyback on Katie and Joe, as far as resources for the callers and the listeners, this week, Money Smart Week, is hosting over 100 free events. So the event topics range from retirement to college managing student loans. And so if you go to www.moneysmartweek.org and look at Indiana, you can find a host of events that, and I know today's Thursday, but it goes through Saturday, that, and it's libraries, bank, financial institutions that are hosting free financial literacy programs on the topics that we're discussing today.
Gotten another listener who didn't want to go on the air but has given us a question that, is there any counsel or advice you would offer to someone who is making minimum wage right now about attempting to prepare for retirement within those relatively straitened circumstances? I'll start with Katie on that one.
I think it all goes back to trying to look at your retirement, how you envision your retirement, and then budgeting. I think that applies to folks of all income levels. I realize that that's harder to do, and perhaps paying for a certified financial planner may not be in your budget, but really taking a hard look at your finances and seeing possibly what things that you can cut or alter, at what age you plan to retire, and in terms of Social Security, perhaps it would pay in the end for you to wait as long as possible until your full retirement age.
Joe, did you have a comment you wanted to make?
Yes, I just wanted to say, for someone that's, you know, making minimum wage, the thing is that you still have to save. And there's an old saying about pay yourself first. Mm-hmm. And that means save something out of anything that you that you make, no matter how small that amount is, because it adds up. And then that can become a bigger investment for you that's going to help you further down the road.
Is there any place people can go if they're in those circumstances, minimum wage, where they can get at least basic financial counseling at no cost that we're aware of? Katie Moreau or Kia?
I don't know specifics off the top of my head, but I would assume that the Trade Association of the Certified Financial Planners does pro bono work and does events like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, they all came to our events free of charge. They didn't offer specific advice, but I'd encourage you to check out their association's website. It's cfp.net for the Certified Financial Planners. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Kia.
I'm sorry. And I would take advantage of this week, again, with the free financial literacy programs and workshops that are taking place this week. A lot of the guests will be financial planners and financial experts. So that may be an opportunity to talk to them, take advantage of that opportunity, because it's all free. So I would utilize a resource, the website Money Smart Week, to learn more about some of the programs that are actually taking place this week.
Go ahead and give that URL again real quickly.
It is www.moneysmartweek.org.
We've got just about a minute and a half left. So in about 20 seconds, I want people who are listening to this to walk away with one concrete thing. What is one thing, I'm going to give each of you a shot, that a person should do right now to start planning for retirement? Katie, I'll start with you first.
I would go to aarp.org/work, and I would use in particular the retirement calculator and the Social Security benefits calculator. When I figured out the percentage difference between taking Social Security benefits at 62 versus my full retirement age, it totally surprised me. And it may be a ways off, but it was an incredibly important planning tool.
Kia Coleman.
I would say utilize the resources and calculators that are out there via Social Security and AARP. But even before that, I would say it starts with your attitude towards retirement and committing to prepare and committing to save. That would be my advice.
Okay. And Joe Everett, you're going to get the last word, but you've only got about 15 seconds for it.
And the last word is, you have to be honest with yourself. Be honest about what you're spending and how you can control that spending in order to maximize your saving.
And that is a good last word. I'd like to thank all of you. I'd like to thank Katie Moreau. It's been a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you so much.
Kia Coleman, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks, John.
And Joe Everett, I've learned an awful lot from you in this hour. Thank you very much for joining us.
I appreciate it.
We will be back next week. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.